Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's time for Seminole Headlines featuring WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron, managing editor Ira Schofel, and senior writer Corey Clark. Your weekly dose of all things FSU, pistols, and pies starts right now. Here's Jeff Cameron.
The Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio and WarChant TV. Great to be with you as always. There on the other side of the glass, my boys, Ira and Corey. And as usual, we get started. We want to thank fine folks that help us do this show, Register Sausage. Yay, Sausage! What's up, boys?
Got a little breaking news for you guys.
Bam!
We got a promo code.
Ooh.
Ben got a little excited last night after the softball win.
Big win.
You go to registermeats.com. It's 20% off if you use the promo code Lonnie. L-O-N-N-I. For Coach Alameda, if you use the promo code Lonnie, you'll get 20% off your order. It'll be shipped to you fresh in a cooler, delicious Register sausage. You can get the andouille. You can get the jalapeno cheddar.
Yes,
the
sir.
The old school. You could go get the short links. The options are endless. The sampler.
Yeah, man, you could do it all. You could get one of each.
You could.
Get the short links. Yep. I like those short links. They're underrated.
One of each might be the play, Corey.
I like the way you're thinking. You need to try them all, and not a sampler. You're going to like them. You don't want a small little taste. You're going to want the whole thing. Once you have one of them, you're going to be like, man, I want a lot more than this. So just buy them.
Or if you're in this region of the country, sorry, you can go to your local grocery store and ask them for it.
20% off. Can you go to Publix and say, Lonnie, and get 20% off?
Try.
I'm going to do that on the way home.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just going to walk in and go, Lonnie!
Yeah.
Bring me the sausage.
I think they just give it to you free at that point.
That's good. Good.
I'm going to juggle it as I yell out Lonnie. Walk into the Register feeling good about things. Anyhow, we thank our friends at Register Sausage. And don't forget, take the advantage of the opportunity there that Ira just laid bare.
Good stuff.
So when do you leave, buddy? I know you're our resident softball coverage guy.
This evening.
Oh, Corey does work too, but he's not flying, so I knew you would be.
Hey, we flipped a coin. He kept throwing the coin in the water.
I'm going
this evening. I can't wait. I thought there was a little concern last night that I might miss today's show, and I know you guys would be broken up about that, particularly the listeners.
Yeah.
I think there would be a revolt, I was able to schedule for this evening, so I'll get in tonight. They don't play till late tomorrow, so it works out perfect.
You're going to go out boozing?
Oh, of course.
I mean, you got a lot of
me
time.
Me and Oklahoma City.
It's you and Oklahoma City getting after it.
A buddy of mine texted me. I didn't realize. Have you ever been there?
I have.
I've been through there. He's looking at me.
But not.
I assume everything's correct.
Of course. I've been through there on the way to the Oklahoma game in 10, but I didn't.
Gotcha.
I haven't stayed there for any length of time.
So I've been there twice for the World Series. And
third time coming up, buddy. I know. Pumped.
I mean, it's no Shreveport, but it's, it's a destination.
Yeah.
I just found out from a buddy of mine, they have a banjo museum there. So I may check that out.
You should.
The main thing I've done, really, the last two, I think both times I've gone.
The memorial,
which is really.
It's just breathtaking.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
They did a great job with it.
But it's tough to keep doing that.
But I don't know if I need to do that again.
I was going
to
say, a third time's not necessary.
I might just pay my respects.
Yeah.
Keep it moving.
Banjo museum.
And check out the banjo museum.
Quite the opposite.
It is.
It's a very different experience, Corey, when you go there. To go to the banjo museum is a little bit different than when you go and you see the recognition of all the children that were murdered.
The other cool thing about that venue is.
I wonder if
they
have a section of the banjo museum where they pay tribute to
those
kids,
children.
And you're like, I can't get away from it.
I'm never coming back. Corey, you're going next year.
The nice thing about these last two trips is I'll get to see that stadium packed. Because, if you're playing somebody else, Aslan said last night, it may not be packed.
If it's Florida State and Tennessee, it's not going to be filled to the gills.
But it seats 13,000 people. And when Oklahoma's playing, man, that joint is packed. So it should be fun.
So what do we think their chances are? What percentage? Let's just do it simple. What percentage chance would you give Florida State to win the national title by knocking off Oklahoma there?
After listening to Wake Up War Chant, I think Corey's got them at about 2%. I'm going to say 28%.
I was going to say 20.
28%.
I think Sandercock is the difference maker. She can maybe limit those bats if she's getting ground balls, but, man, you're talking about a team that's lost once all year.
Yeah, it's a tough team.
And they've won 51 games in a row, and you have to beat them 2 out of 3. When nobody, they haven't lost twice all season to all of them.
In front of 95%
of
their fans.
It's like playing a doke.
It's a challenge.
I don't feel like we'll get flustered.
It's not daunting.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be flustered by the crowd.
Most of them have been in it, too. Like, they lived this 2 years ago.
I don't think they'll be flustered by the crowd. I just think that's a really good team, and going to be difficult. But, you know, bat ball sports, weird things happen. We see it all the time. So
not going to go through everybody's percentages, but Noel Dad 77 goes to 46%, which I think is the spirit of going with 28%.
That seems
taking the random
high
numbers.
Yeah.
Eric Angel, 50%. I think a 50% from Eric Angel is like a 30% for most people.
Yeah, he's a very positive person. When it comes
I was going to say 35%.
Okay.
That's still daunting. It's still difficult.
They are out of the 8 teams that were there. Well, the other 7, I think they have the best shot.
Sure,
you know, Stanford had the incredible pitcher, but couldn't hit, can't score. Florida State has an incredible pitcher and can score a little bit. They can scratch across some runs, as I like to say. So they have an ability to maybe touch home plate a few more times than Stanford. But
it'd be great. It would be great.
It'd be awesome. It'd be the best, one of the best sports moments in.
I'll say this:
memory of
Florida
State.
If you can win the first one, man, like now all the pressure's on them.
Yeah. Well, that I think the pressure's on them, period. You're right. Add to it. I mean, if you're Oklahoma and all you do is compile year over year the very best recruiting class in the country, and you have the pick of the litter of the best players in the country for the most part, and you don't win it, that's got to be tough. I mean, you're basically playing at home. You've won, as Corey noted, 51 games in a row. There's a lot of pressure on you to go ahead and cash in the chips. Otherwise, it's all for naught, baby. All for naught. Kind of like the Bruins in the NHL this year.
For FSU fans who haven't paid attention to a lot of softball, and Corey and I, in some degree, Jeff, watched some of the other teams, and certainly Oklahoma during the season.
To some degrees, right.
Varying degrees.
Yeah, varying degrees.
Because it may seem alarming that we're like kind of downing a team that's won 33 of their last 35 games and has played so well and has done so amazingly.
Is that what they are? They're 33-2.
Wow. So they've got a pretty good little run, too. The thing is, when you look at the good Oklahoma's roster and like read the bios, and it's like everybody's on the national team. Yeah. Everybody was the number one recruit in the country. I mean, it's like it's like the height of Duke men's basketball to me.
Yeah.
If they all stayed for 4 years.
I.e., easy to hate.
Well, it's like, that's for sure.
But they're going into everybody's state and getting their best player.
It's like, to me, it's like UConn women's basketball back when they were running things, when they had that incredible run, when they won 100 games in a row. And not only are you having to play a team full of like the top 5 picks in the draft, which there is no softball draft really. I mean, there's no real pro sport. But if there was, Oklahoma would be, they'd have 8-10 in the first round every year. But it'd be like playing that UConn women's team in Storrs, Connecticut. Like, it's hard enough to play them in Tampa.
Right.
When the whole crowd is cheering for you, you're playing any other city in any other state in America, Florida State would be, everybody be cheering for them because they'd be the huge underdog, but you're playing them in their home.
I got two things to read here. One, Wilson has contributed. Awfully kind of you, Wilson.
Thanks, Wilson.
He writes, Ira will be there making the trek from Amarillo.
Oh, nice.
I've met everyone else on the War Chant team. Would love to shake your hand tomorrow night. Ira, you come out of that booth. You come out of that ivory tower. Hey, you walk down there and shake this man's hand.
If he's got another crisp 20 on him. Wilson, I'll be there, buddy.
Oh, that's right. That's all it takes.
Wilson, definitely, man. Send me a message on Twitter. I'm sure I follow you on Twitter.
There you go.
And my DMs are open if I don't. So
DMs have been open for a long time.
He has said that to the ladies many times. You know what?
Yeah, definitely look forward to meeting you, Wilson, for no other reason than the fact that he gives you crap on Twitter.
I just remember one time when we were in Charlotte leaving the bar there, Corey, and Ira yelled out to the waitress, my DMs, my DMs are open.
Yeah. Ira_Schofel.
Yeah, they're open, baby.
She looked at me and she's like, I know.
Yeah. I've already looked you up.
There was that. And then I think Briley wanted to know, or somebody did, and then Briley answered this. Is it worthy of – yeah, there it was. Sorry about that. I had it wrong. Let's go back up to this. Chris writes, if FSU beats Oklahoma –
Yes, I know where this is going.
All right. That is worthy of an hour number two?
Absolutely.
Let's
go.
There we go.
Of course, man.
There we go.
That's better than the promo code.
Yeah. Well, come on now. It's not. But it's, I mean, that talk about a worthy inclusion in the pantheon of hour number two.
It would have to be.
I mean, you're beating the best softball team of all time twice, at least by record, in their basically home stadium.
Wilson also writes, hashtag wide-ass open DNs.
Mm, yeah. Why? So I would say this. So he, our friends, fought, and we appreciate the contribution. He's driving. I looked it up. It's about 4 hours from Amarillo to Oklahoma City. I know a friend of the show, Shane Kirknoll. He's driven back and forth from Dallas to Oklahoma City.
Yeah, he has. Yeah, that's a lot.
I would say if you're in the area, that you can go get tickets. If you're within a 4 hour drive, go support this team. That's all
for
I'm
sure.
saying.
I've got a.
Don't let it just be a Sooner washout. Get some Noles in there.
I know an FSU grad who's made about an 8 or 9 hour drive, and one of our counselors at my kids' school, at Leon High School, Jason Wentz, who is a he and his wife drove out there. I believe. I hope that's cool for me putting that out there, Mr. Wentz.
Kind of
but dude, driving 14 hours, and they've been there from the get go. Like literally, once they made it, they were in the car driving 14 hours. Jeff.
I got a friend who did it as well, Stacy. She I used to work out with her at Orange Theory Fitness. She was an instructor there. Went on to get her master's from FSU. Okay. Real smart woman. Great, huge supporter. She herself was a very good softball player at one time. She went out there with her family. I know that. That's a lot of support.
We know Sydney Sherrill and Random Children are out there.
Yeah. She's gonna have a kid next to her. And if you, I'm talking to the audience now. If you want to get on TV, go find her in the crowd.
Put your kid.
Take your kid. And roll her up to Sydney Sherrill, and you'll get on TV.
May the record reflect that Corey the Welcher has committed to an hour number two on June the 6th at 1:13 p.m.
That's an important record.
People are still a little angry about how it was you developed amnesia the last time a promise was made regarding hour number two.
I don't even remember what it was that I supposedly said I did. What?
What you welched on.
Yeah, what I welched on. I don't even remember what it was, but this one I will remember.
You definitely welched. There was something.
This is a big one now.
Yeah, was it the 10-win season that you welched on?
It could have been something
like that. It feels
like
that's what it was.
But it wasn't something that was so immediate. Like,
can we get one on the record? Like, today I took my kid to the doctor's, and then they want to get you on the – in the books for the next appointment.
Yeah.
So you tell them a year from now we'll do all this, right? All right, so can I get you on the record now? Here we are, June, early June at that.
Yeah.
A 12-win season for Florida State, including the bowl game.
How about winning the ACC championship?
Yeah, I think you've already confirmed that you would do that.
Or winning at Clemson or just ACC championship?
No, it can't be winning at Clemson.
No. Well, Pitt does that all the time.
Yeah, I was going to say, people do that.
I'm going to say ACC championship. Yeah, I'll do it. Hold my feet to the fire, everyone.
All right, we got it. So we have two commitments for an hour number two out here from Corey. Now we've
big
got one
ones, though.
For,
I mean, I'm not doing it for like
it
I
it can't
used
be
to.
Willy-nilly. I agree with you on this.
When you just held Miami under 20 points and I did it, like we have to do it for real things now. And
the standards have changed around here.
And an ACC championship in football are worthy additions.
You know what we ought to do? And we'll start clean slate when we come back because they're two of my very favorites. Let's talk a little bit about the Hall of Fame, the College Football Hall of Fame, and a little bit of Peter Warrick and Warrick Dunn, because Ira and I got a chance to do it yesterday, Corey, on the still ever-popular JCS.
Growing, I would assume. Yeah.
I was actually going to tell you, I need you to write a column on this, too. I was going to tell you that after the show, but I'll let
you
know.
But, Corey, it's a column you're going to want to write.
It's weird that he tells me what to do. We are a partnership.
I was going to ask you.
My man's flying to Oklahoma City tonight. You can write a column.
Good point.
I'm just saying. I've seen this as a fun column to write. Those two guys in particular are two of the first four or five names for Florida State football in the history of the game.
Yeah.
Like you, I mean, Deion and Marvin, I mean, Charlie Ward and these two. Like, there's a couple that you might want to fight to put in there, but these two are in that group real quick. So let's talk about that next. Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in a moment. MLB is finally back in full swing, and MyBookie is going to be your one-stop shop for all your betting needs with a wide range of betting options, including money lines, run lines, totals, and futures. MyBookie gives you plenty of ways to bet on your favorite teams and players. You can also take advantage of the brand new MyBookie Money Bag, which gives you the chance to secure a big bet on your favorite team or player at insanely boosted odds. Sign up today at MyBookie. Use promo code WARCHANT to secure a first deposit bonus of up to $1,000. It's simple. Deposit $200, play with $300 instantly. Just use promo code WARCHANT to claim your bonus. So if you're a baseball fan looking to add even more excitement to the new season, look no further than MyBookie. Sign up now and get ready to experience the thrill of baseball betting like never before. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
Hey, headliners, Ira here, and it's time to talk Shopify. As you remember, a couple years ago, we wanted to create and sell Headlines merch for the best podcast listeners in the world. That's you. But I had no idea where to get started. Now I'm selling Yay Sausage shirts, and it's so easy, all because we use Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're a startup working out of your man cave or IPO ready, Shopify is the only tool you need to grow your business without the struggle. Shopify puts you in control of every sales channel. You could be selling Don Julio socks from Shopify's in-person point-of-sale system or offering headliner shirts from Shopify's all-in-one e-commerce platform. Whatever you need, you're covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how, no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up now for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/warchant, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/warchant now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. That's shopify.com/warchant.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schoffel, and Corey Clark.
All right, so Warrick Dunn, all-time great Noel, and one of the all-time great post-Noel careers, both in the NFL and off the field, with all of his humanitarian work and the things that he's done and living a great life. Peter Warrick, simply spectacular, probably the most electrifying receiver that I have ever seen play. I loved him. I thought he was unreal in the open field. He was like nobody else that the Seminoles have ever had, and very few in college football can even measure up to the career that he had in the game. And then, obviously, his pro career was not as great as we would have liked. I think that for some reason that somehow has, in some ways, thrown shade on his college career, which one has nothing to do with the other. That said, these two now nominated. Ira and I were laughing about, who knows how this process works with the College Football Hall of Fame? It's insane. There's so many college football teams, is my point, that, you ought to bring in like 30 or 40 a year.
That's why Jeff made a good point. The fact that it's you've got 100 and something teams. I mean, it's not like
– how many players get nominated?
Teams. Yeah. What, I don't know, 100, 200?
Well, there's. I'm saying, like, think about how many people are still waiting to get in that were two-time consensus All-Americans from 1984, still waiting. And you're like, why? Well, we only want to bring in this many people a year. Well, this ain't the NFL.
And do they all make
you
speeches?
You have 130 teams, exactly. 120 teams.
Is there a speech? I've never watched the College Hall of Fame ceremony. I think I've watched maybe when Bowden was inducted. Do they? I don't know if they all make speeches.
I think I remember seeing Marvin Jones do one last well, 2 years ago, the last one.
Split it up on the weekend. Have 12 one day, 12 the next day, 12 the next day. Like, but yeah, it's ridiculous.
There's a logjam. And it's going to get worse and worse because college football has gotten so much bigger and better.
Yeah, but When you look at these two in particular, it boggles the mind that both of them aren't in because they both hit the qualifying marks as in their careers are over. They've been over for 10 years, everything else. But I think, and we were just talking, Ira and I, like Peter Warrick to me is even a bigger snub for now. He'll get in eventually than Warrick Dunn. And it's by a smidge. But Peter Warrick to me represents 90s college football. He represents 90s wide receivers. I feel like he was one of one.
I do too.
Warrick Dunn was awesome.
By the way,
there are a lot of really great running backs that we remember from those times.
That is correct.
Peter Warrick, I don't know that anybody's in that boat with him. I can't. Who's the other Peter Warrick that we remember from back then?
Real quick. So I don't know, man. It's been 6 months now that Corey constantly has to show us his arms and his chest and his stuff. Now he's showing us some leg.
Sorry. I don't see it.
He just took it down.
I like to be comfortable. I like to exude comfortability, Ira, when I'm talking.
Yeah, when he's talking there.
He's just going to start rolling around, like laying down, like full body shots.
Naked, he's going to be talking. It's like,
this shirt, I didn't come in intentionally with a shirt that's this tight, that's just medium.
No,
it's my undershirt. I got Bojangles on the regular shirt. Biscuit smudges.
Yeah.
And it looks
well, you
bad.
Can eat what you want when you work out as hard as you do, Corey.
That's right. Hey, is this not the proof? So anyway, go ahead.
Yeah.
I was done.
No. Peter Warrick. I share your sentiment here. Peter Warrick was I mean, I was very fortunate. I started working in the media 98 covering Florida State.
Yeah, it's a good time.
He was one of the first people I ever interviewed. And to this day, you know, the more you do this, the less in awe you are of people. You don't get nervous around people. The more you talk to these guys. I was nervous talking to Peter Warrick. That's how on high I held him and the way I thought about him. He was a freak. He's an all-time freak for Florida State and really in college football. And his you and I talked about it yesterday, Ira, how one of the great things about Twitter, and there aren't many, has been the ability for people to post these career highlights of him and for the pros to come in and be like, yep, he was a freak. He was unbelievable. I remember watching him. He was he got his just due.
And one of the other cool things about, and this isn't why he should get into the Hall of Fame, but one of the neat things about him also is that, like, he loves all of that. Like, he loves, like, if he comes to games, he wants to take pictures with every fan that wants to take pictures with him. He's just, he loves being Peter Warrick, but also, like, for what Florida State did for him, what he did for Florida State.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty cool because it's not always the case. You know, some guys leave and they just, or some people just don't like attention.
Yeah.
Some guys.
They're introverted or whatever.
Or, or some guys are bitter because of what this happened or that hurt. His pro career didn't turn out the way he wanted to. But, man, he just loves every bit of it. So, he's a cool. It's cool that he's associated with Florida State because he wants to be associated with Florida State. And, man, if he got in the hall, like Marvin Jones, the things I saw from him when he got in.
Oh, he was emotional.
Very emotional. Imagine. Yeah. I mean, it's like we're talking about. It's hard to get in that thing.
Yeah.
And so he gets, I think it would be a year-long party for Peter Warrick. You know, like,
good.
I'm not saying Warrick wouldn't appreciate it, but I think it would be cool to see Peter Warrick just celebrating Florida State and, the accomplishment.
They both should get in. It's a no-brainer. A lot of guys on that list, if we're being fair, deserve to get in. I mean, when every time they do this, I was telling Ira yesterday, I love it as a college football fan when the nominations come out.
Yeah,
it's
like,
a
wait,
trip
he's
down
not
memory
there?
Lane. Yeah. And you're like, oh, my God, I forgot about him. I forgot about him. Oh, yeah, he was awesome. Oh, Kajana Carter. Like, you do this over and over and over again, and it takes you down a wondrous time in college football history. It was the emergence. In a lot of ways, we've talked about this too. Florida State was synonymous with the rise of college football and its popularity in this country. You could say college football was popular in 1982. It's nothing compared to what it was in, say, 96, 97. Yep. 90, and Florida State had emerged as a preeminent program in the sport at that time. That's why people of a certain age, 40 or older, let's say, feel a certain way about Florida State. You either hate them or love them. There aren't too many people indifferent about Florida State because you were beaten over the head with their greatness, just like Nebraska and Miami during that time. That's college football emerging.
It's the golden era. Right?
Yeah, it's the golden era, and those guys played then.
Yeah, and also with Peter Warrick, I mean, I think LeBron's tweeted about him.
Yeah.
Like he transcends just football. Like, he was a guy that, and I mean, LeBron was a high school football player for a while, but you know what I mean? Like, just athletes appreciate greatness. And I don't know, again, I don't know that you can make an argument that there were two or three more impactful wide receivers in the whole decade than Peter Warrick. And he won a national title. He made huge plays in the national title
game. Including the catch.
And it would be fitting.
The catch.
It would be fitting if he and Vic, who was also on the ballot, if they went in in the same year. Because Michael Vick kind of introduced himself to the world that game, and he did not win the MVP of that game. The other guy did.
Even though he was amazing, too.
He was incredible.
He was the only reason they were in the game.
Yeah, but Peter Warrick is just it's bizarre that and we say this every time, it's bizarre that neither one of them got in, but Warrick Dunn, look, I always thought Warrick Dunn should have been a finalist for the Heisman. I think he should have finished second that year. He never got any kind of push or hype behind him, which never really made sense. But Peter Warrick was the best player in college football for 2 years in a row.
Yes, he was.
And Dillard's kept him from winning a Heisman and even a Biletnikoff.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody doubts his greatness. Warrick Dunn, you can get lost in the shuffle a little bit because you're running back that didn't put up great numbers. I mean, relative to like Wisconsin's guys and other guys. But Peter Warrick is still the all-time leading receiver here, right? And still has the most
touchdown
catches.
He's second.
To Rashad?
No, the all-time leading receiver is Ron Sellers, isn't he?
I thought Peter Warrick was.
No,
hey, guys, I'm going to look it up.
I think it's number two.
I mean, he played four years, so I'm
yeah,
not sure.
Well,
I think it's Sellers.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Sellers only played 3 years, which is crazy.
Touchdowns, we may be right about. Touchdowns, 33 touchdowns, is that right?
I think he was like 39 or 40.
Well, you may be right on that one. Yeah,
The weird thing about Dunn is that it is, you know, it's like Charlie was Charlie. Like Charlie,
maybe a second all time in the ACC. My apologies.
Charlie was, you know, bigger than life, and he wins the Heisman. And then Florida State had so many weapons. And the other thing I think hurt work a little bit in terms of work done a little bit in terms of the national attention in the Heisman is just the size. Like that was, he was always doubted because of his size. And if you think when he went to the NFL, like nobody thought he would be as successful as he was.
He had an incredible career.
Because of size. And so I think that's something that kind of, I think people, especially in that era, really just loved those big bruising backs.
I think when you talk to Florida State fans, like whenever we travel and cover events on the road and you run into Florida State fans who don't live in the state of Florida but grew up watching Florida State, maybe they went to Florida State, maybe they didn't, they just loved the school. I mean, it's part of the fun is talking about players like Peter Work, is talking about players like Work Dunn, is talking about those kinds of guys. In the 90s in particular for me, and I think I'm biased. Now, listen, I'm a Marvin guy, I'm a Derrick Brooks guy, but these are all 90s guys. These are all superstars of that era. And Warwick Dunn and Peter Warwick, it doesn't take long before we all start talking about, remember that play? Remember this play? Remember this run? Remember that? I mean, we do that all the time.
Yeah. So you were right. It's Rashad Greene is number one in yards and receptions. Old Rashad.
Yeah.
He's probably not going to be in the College Football Hall of Fame. I'm not saying he shouldn't be. He was awesome, and he played on a national championship team. But Peter Warwick had 32 touchdowns.
32, I said 33.
Yeah, you're right there. You're right there. And I kind of dismissed it. Like, no, it's a lot more than that.
Corey, thank you for letting me flex for just a moment there and admitting.
For once.
Admitting.
You know, for once.
I might have been throwing in some of his rushing touchdowns and his pump returns.
Passing touchdowns.
He threw touchdowns. Yeah, he was also, he threw a couple memorable touchdowns, too.
He probably should have been given the reins in the national championship game against Tennessee. In fact, after minutes into that game, I thought, well, he's a better option than Rooster at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Took a while to realize Rooster didn't have it that day.
I mean, a little too long, my friends.
A little quicker hook.
I feel like they win the game if they just snap it to Peter Warwick on every play.
I do too.
Okay.
And I drove to that game.
Yeah, I flew to it.
And then I drove back.
Yeah.
And great disappointment.
How sweet
bitter
was it?
Disappointment.
I tweeted this yesterday, but how sweet was it to finally get revenge on Tennessee last night in that softball game after the 25 years of pain from the Rooster game.
You think T. Martin was hurting last night? He was I can't believe they got us.
They got us.
After all these years.
And you're going to get to do it again with Oklahoma. Oklahoma beat you in a national championship game.
It just beat Oklahoma at the end
ago.
Of last year. It was the last game. Yeah, last ever Cheez-It Bowl. You don't just get over the sting of losing the final ever Cheez-It Bowl, buddy. You don't think that lingers in Norman?
Mm. Oh, of course it does.
They're sitting around right now thinking to themselves, damn it, man, if I had known it was the last.
They won't celebrate. If they win the national championship in softball, it's not going to care. It's going to take a lot of – it's going to be bittersweet because they don't – they lost that Cheez-It Bowl. And now it's the Pop-Tart Bowl.
Maybe they
– And I love Pop-Tarts. Well, but you can't just replace the Cheez-It Bowl.
Maybe Florida State fans who are in attendance, let's get a little Cheez-It Bowl cheer going.
Oh,
kind of rub it in their
like
face
it.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Chance
see
to
how
score
they like
from
it.
The Cheez-It Bowl.
That's right.
Do you think Oklahoma fans?
They're like, what are they even doing?
What is this chant? I don't know what's going on. What happened?
Cheez-It Bowl. Yeah, just chant
you
Cheez-It
know,
Bowl.
Don't try to deny it. Mm-hmm. You feel that sting every time you hear that score.
Yeah, absolutely. Johnny Wilson. Just start chanting Johnny Wilson.
I might bring some Cheez-It boxes and just start handing them out.
Yeah. Start tossing them. If the Florida State scores first, just start throwing Cheez-It boxes.
In the press box.
Yeah. What is going on here? Cheez-It Bowl. Pop-Tart Bowl. You know how every year when we cover the bowls, you know, we get product.
Mm.
You think we're getting a bunch of Pop-Tarts if we go?
Hope so.
Yeah. I don't want to be at
the Pop-Tart
Bowl.
If Cheez-Its.
We're going to be at the Pop-Tart Bowl, things have gone
Ooh,
things
sideways.
Have gone south. We don't want to be there.
Yeah.
Maybe at the end of 24 if we end up at the Pop-Tart Bowl.
We're
going to
be back
Bowl.
At the – remember the national championship game? They had the bacon bar after the game?
Yep. Mm-hmm. At 3 in the morning.
We're going to be doing those.
Buffet.
We're going to be doing that kind of thing.
Good times. Seminole Headlines 93.3. Real Talk Radio War Chant TV continues in just a moment.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schoffel, and Corey Clark.
Get excited, everybody. I saw the email went out. Ira has it in his inbox. Now he's busy. He's flying out tonight. I don't know how soon things will be adjusted and implemented and posted. But that top 40 list is done, everybody.
Mm. The tentative. It hasn't been checked. By, the accountants haven't checked it over.
Well, I think the email says to you specifically, get on it.
Well, I think he's saying double check. Make sure all the...
It feels like that was to you.
It can't be prematurely released. Also, real quick, somebody in the chat said that the promo code doesn't seem to be working yet for registers. It is not expired. Trust me on that. Maybe there's a glitch or something, but try later. The promo code at registermeats.com should be Lonnie, capital L-O-N-N-I. And if it's not working right now, it will be soon.
Oh, you got to capitalize the L?
Yeah, you got to capitalize the L.
Okay. Case sensitive password.
Just throwing it out there in case.
Right. Yeah. Well, and Ben will get it right.
Yeah.
If it's wrong, we'll get it right. Don't worry about that. Yeah. So that top 40 list is done. I'm interested to see, Corey, who'd you got number one?
Big mystery.
Fitzgerald. Did you rank Fitzgerald in your top 40?
I didn't.
You did not? Okay. I did.
I didn't rank him.
You ranked the position. Oh, I didn't know we could do that.
I ranked the position.
Well, I would have done that too.
I did.
You did not. Did you really?
Yeah, number 40.
I
wrote a kicker.
And that didn't make it. I guarantee you that.
I don't know how it didn't make it. It should make it. I mean, it's one of those two.
You have to specify the player. You could say quarterback, left tackle,
guard. I don't think that either of those kids are worthy of a vote. I'm just putting it there at number 40. One of these two deadbeats is going to win the job.
Etsu was falling down on your list.
Yeah, he was given a golden opportunity. Really didn't kick the door down in spring. Mm. I'm trying a little tough love.
Oh, okay.
Tough love in the offseason to see if we can get him where he needs to be. I know it's in him. He's a former Buccaneer. It's in him. I just need him to buck up.
Chat wants to know if Travis Shea made your list.
Always.
He was 17.
It was 23 on mine.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, okay, it was 23. I moved him back a little bit this year.
It's a tradition like no. yeah. Travis Shea makes a list.
And then is not eligible.
Contribute as much this year as he has any
play
other
at all.
Year.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say, look, we were talking about the Cheez-It Bowl. If Ryan Fitzgerald's listening to this show, he's like, how many game-winning kicks do I have to make before Jeff will show me some proper respect?
Okay, Ryan.
My man's made two game-winning kicks, and if they would have given him a shot in Raleigh, he's splitting the pipes.
Do you remember?
Hopkins could just send him a text and say, man, get used to it.
Yeah.
I hit a 50-yarder.
He does not like kickers.
Well, a 38-yarder to lose to North Carolina inexplicably.
Yeah, and the Virginia one.
I never really forgave it.
Don't forget the Virginia one.
As you can see. Hey, but you know who did come through on the regular and still friends with me to this day? Sends me gifts. That's right. Onions.
Gano, yeah.
Graham knew how to rise up.
He should stand with the other kickers.
Graham knows this guy was – I could see greatness from miles away when Graham was here.
I think what we need is Clark. Bryce probably – it's too late to pick up kicking. Maybe Clark could become a kicker.
No, we don't need to. I still make fun of my – one of my brothers was a kicker. I make fun of him all the time. He was a scholarship – he got a scholarship to Iowa to kick, and he turned it down to be a marine biologist at JU and play rugby and soccer instead. He was a good athlete. But I make fun of him all the time. I'm like, well, you didn't really play high school football. So, you know how it is. You know, that it's hard, right. Ira. It's hard.
Yeah, I don't know if we should start with we always end with the top. We count backwards. We go to count up to number one.
Yeah.
But there's not going to be a lot of drama for that.
It's like when we did the Jameis drama for that top 10.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I think, frankly, that this is going to be a fun show for us to do when we sit down to do it. That top 40 list, I haven't.
Oh, it'll be a bunch of shows, buddy. We drag it out.
Oh,
we're
yeah.
We're going to one per player.
Pick?
Yeah, we're going to do 40 of them.
I'm actually just going to point out here really quickly.
Don't say that or Gene will have
to. I'm not going to tell everybody, but I will just tell you that every one of us who voted, I have now looked at every vote in every top of every top 40 list, correctly noted that Jordan Travis and Jared Verse were 1-2. I gave that away.
Yeah.
It wasn't a big secret. Everybody voted the same on Jordan Travis, Jared Verse.
I had Fitzgerald 3, and it was between 3
it was
and
so
2.
Close.
I was, but I'm
Verse,
like, you know what? Verse is going to probably make more of an impact because they're not going to probably have to settle for a lot of field goals this offense.
You know, I mean, a couple of the top-tier guys. Where it gets interesting is, I think, about 8, from 8 to about 25. Then it gets juicy because you can move some guys around there.
Well, and like a guy like Renardo Green.
Right.
Was really good.
Was a good player for you last year. He's going to be a starter, we think, this year.
But where do you put, is he 21st? Is he 14th?
Right, right.
Is he ahead of Cyprus? Is he behind Shaheem Brown? When you're talking about importance of players, you kind of just – he's almost assumed to be good. And these other guys maybe get the bump of the projecting them and the potential and everything else. By the way, I looked it up real quick. Graham Gano, $40 million he's made in the NFL.
Yeah.
Not a bad gig.
The decision to really focus in on kicking and punting at a young age worked out well.
Because he was an athlete.
Yeah. He was an athlete.
He was an athlete.
Somebody told him basically, like, hey, man, you're really good at that. You should focus on it. You can get a full ride.
But he's otherworldly. And that's the other thing about kicking, though, it stinks in the NFL, is that, like, there's only 32 jobs or whatever. So, like, you can't – those guys, when they're good, like, Gano is never leaving.
Yeah. So, it's
so that guy will eat up one of the 30-something jobs for 15 years.
What's really weird about Gano, and I think any kicker that does this, it's remarkable. And here's where I will give kickers credit. It's so individual. You sit around all day and watch these guys beat the bejesus out of each other.
Yeah.
I mean, taking brutal shots. And now it's on you, baby. Go out there and make this 51-yarder. After all this stuff that we've laid out here, and if the difference is losing or winning, it's up to you, your foot. Well, when it goes south for those guys, and they all have periods where it does, they lose their job. Gano's lost his job. He's been out of the league before. But to come back from it, you know, to get bounced from Washington or New York or where, Carolina, he's been at other places. And then to get back in the league, like 1 year he had an injury, he missed a whole season due to injury, and then getting back into that's hard to do, man. I really admire that kind of mental toughness. And it's really, I mean, that's kickers do have to have that to remain in this league for a long time, because you're going to go through stretches for whatever reason. You know, technically you're off or something's not right and you missed one too many
Hopkins
kicks.
Hopkins went through it too, right?
He
struggled and bounced around a couple places.
A lot of punters make the College Football Hall of Fame.
Ray Guy has to be in there, right?
I would think he might be the one and only.
Stark,
maybe McAfee. I don't know if Stark's
in.
No, Stark
no, he's
isn't
not
in there.
How is he not in there? He should be in there. Yeah. I don't know. But yeah,
they should have a separate Hall of Fame, Jeff. Kicker Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I am for the non-football players.
Florida State should have two of them in there.
Oh, Janikowski should be in there right now, without question.
And Aguayo was better than him in college.
Yeah.
Was better than him. And was part of national championship teams too. So yeah, they should both be in there. Somebody asked me a question about on Wake Up War Chant about if Janikowski had stayed in 2000 for his senior year, does Florida State win the national championship? When you think about their loss to Miami, and then you think about that Oklahoma game and not scoring any points
offensively. They scored
2 points
in that game, no, I think they still would have lost to Oklahoma.
But it changes the way you coach. You're not going for fourth down.
Yeah,
you're not. Yeah. You're at the 31. You're like, okay, we got some points.
Still had the unfortunate situation with Snoop.
Yeah, that was unfortunate.
Kind of cost you the game.
Could have put Janikowski out wide. He'd have made some catches.
I would say this. Here's a fair question.
They definitely would have beaten Miami that year.
Yeah.
And I think they beat him by 10.
Oh, and here's a fair question that I think is hard to answer. Maybe you'd say both. I don't know. But you're right. Aguayo's college career was better than that of Janikowski's. You got one kick to make to win the national championship 50 yards out. Who are you taking? I'm taking Janikowski.
It's tainted by the Bucks, man.
I'm just Janikowski.
If you'd ask
giant cojones,
if the year is 2013
or 14,
it's two different years.
2014,
yeah.
I'm like, I'll take Aguayo over anyone that's ever kicked in college football,
because it felt like he couldn't miss,
and he could not miss, and he kicked a bunch of really big,
big ones.
Year.
So on the road at Miami, he kicked a big field goal. I was in attendance for that. I could feel the
everyone
air come out of the stadium
was
big
because the games were all so close.
Yeah, well the block kick against Georgia Tech was so crazy because it just felt like it was inconceivable to think that could happen to that guy because he had been unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it was his fault. I don't remember whose fault it
was.
Is
that when the career, you think, kind of –
it felt like things started to change
a little.
Started
to go a little wayward. Sideways,
that one play.
At least
not just getting the field goal blocked, but then looking
not
so athletic on trying to make – unathletic trying to make that tackle. And it just seemed like his career really took a nosedive.
All I'll tell you is that I remember kind of
if there's a turtle kicking Hall of Fame.
Oh, stop.
I think my favorite thing about the whole thing with that kick return was that it was the same time as kick six, right? Or right after kick six?
Very, very slow developing.
And then everybody's like, hey, Jimbo, could you have an athlete on the field? And he's like, oh, yeah, we're definitely going to.
I did a whole story about it because it was the same.
The kick six,
It was kick. The kick six happened, and then later on that year in 2000, it must have been 15, Michigan lost to Michigan State on that crazy
block punt.
They had to do was get the punt.
Oh, that was hilarious.
And I asked Jimbo about that. He's like, oh, yeah, we always make sure we have – he goes, with long field goals, you have to have a few more beefy bodies in the middle because you don't want to get blocked. But we always make sure we have some athletes out wide in case
there were none.
Blocked. And I was like, I'm looking around.
Giorgio Newberry was the most athletic guy you had.
I don't see him.
Is old Noob's going to bring
him
down?
And it was just this weird, I'm going to like run alongside you for a while. We're going to look at each other.
They had a convoy.
What are we doing here?
What I think he thought is we're going to meet about the five, and I'm going to push him out of bounds because I've got the angle on him. Not kind of thinking, I wonder if he's going to stop.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go flying past him, and he can moonwalk into the end zone.
I was at the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill watching that when that happened. And I can still remember just sitting there. Well, at that point, we had played so awful.
Yeah.
I was done. I was like, this is another one of these Jimbo games.
I was on the field. We were in the corner. I'm sure we both were. But, yeah, I remember looking from the other side, just, is there coming to us?
And you're laughing.
There's no way this is happening.
This is ridiculous.
This is really happening.
The offense had been horrible all
game. Oh, the whole
game. Like it had been against Boston College.
Well, they had already called it a day. This was the beginning. I mean, I was saying to Tom, I was standing right next to Tom and Bill, and I was like, good, good, run, good, score. I was yelling for him when he was returning it. Go, get in. I was disgusted.
The coolest thing, we've given Roberto a little grief for the tackling, but, man, he came to the post-game press conference, not even a press conference. We were like in a weight room. That's where they did the visitors' interviews.
Right.
And he came in, man, and answered every question like an adult. I mean, we've covered some kickers,
have
some rough moments in some press conferences, blubbering and not wanting to come in, not wanting to talk to the media, different things.
Blubbering, that's a nice phrase. But I would say this about him is he had so – I mean, he was a two-time All-American at that point, won the Groza, had one game. So
he had a lot of
I feel like gravitas.
It's like, look, gravitas to him.
You're still way ahead.
Right.
You're still in the black when it comes to me. I'll come answer your question.
I shuddered – when we were doing media day and I asked him about his last miss, which was against Wake Forest, and he hadn't had a miss since.
That was in the 59-3 game, right?
Yeah. And he missed the kick. He said he miscalibrated for the wind. He said he was trying to kick it lower than he needed to. And he told me the answer. And I said, well, what did you learn from that? And he was like, well, you know, I can't do this and I can't do that. I'll never miss another kick. I was like, excuse me? You'll never miss another kick? I followed up on it. I was like, are you saying you'll never miss another kick or you'll never make that mistake again of miscalibrating? Right. I wanted to clarify.
Yeah.
And he goes, no, I'll never miss another kick. And I was like, okay. I'm like, what?
I
almost want to tell the football gods at that moment, he doesn't mean it. We are so sorry.
And my pro team, do not draft him.
Yeah, that is exactly what I thought. Do not do that.
Last thing I was saying, and I shouldn't have said blubbering. That was dumb. But I will say this, though. What did you guys – I want to get Jeff's thought on this. Because you were critical of the golf coverage when the cameraman got in our guy's face after it was Clanton?
Seth Roberts.
Roberts.
Not Seth Roberts. Who's Seth Roberts? Oh, he's the wide receiver from McClay. Played for the Raiders. What's his name?
Roberts is the last
name, right?
Yeah.
But
Brett Roberts.
They got in his face
as
he's upset after losing the NCAA championship. My only point was, do we worry about that with other athletes? Or we only worry about that with golf? Because, like, I feel like if another athlete in another sport, that's not as
my
concern.
Problem with it, and what wasn't that they did it, it's so out of context of that event. Like, there's nobody there. Like, you see when a kid misses a free throw to lose the game, there's 10,000 people there. Get up close and see it. I don't know that you need to rush up to him as he's clearly falling. He's clearly breaking down and falling apart for a sport that, quite frankly, I love Trey. Nobody cares about. So what is this cameraman trying to get? Is he trying to work the U.S. Open next year because he got Brett Roberts breaking down? Seth Roberts, by the way, did not handle it well either. I don't know if you guys –
Chris Roberts.
No, Chris Roberts pitched for he was the pitcher for the baseball team.
Oh, man.
It's Brett Roberts.
I'll look it up.
I think I'm probably right.
that was my only problem with it is that it was so out of character of that event because nobody's there. And you're literally rushing up to him, and there's nobody else even in the picture except his teammates having to cover him.
Good old Brett Roberts, by the way.
I had it right. So
well, then
I
said Chris Roberts.
Well, somebody said something on the chat. I should know to trust me over the people in the chat.
He was the pitcher from like the early 90s that played with Eduardo.
Thought he could hit. And then there's the whole thing with the Orioles. Remember that? That's right. I forgot all about that.
So how'd Trey handle that, by the way? Have you talked to him?
I spoke to him immediately following. I texted him. He texted me back, and that'll just remain between us, buddy.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a toughie.
That's a real toughie.
Yeah. I mean, you basically handed Florida the national championship.
You did. Well, sort of Georgia Tech the next day.
Well,
they had it won as
well. You were better than Florida for 17 holes.
Yeah, you're up 2 with 3 to play.
Yep. And it's your best golfer. And you had the other two guys are tied. You only got to win one of them.
It's a toughie.
It's a tough one.
Well, I mean, that's the thing about golf that I think is really tough. It's like, look, man, you're in the middle of the fairway, one whatever out with a wedge in your hand. There's nothing Trey can say at that point. I mean, that is as simple a shot as you got to hit.
What if he said,
can't
hey,
miss
man.
The green. I mean.
What if he did, like, started reversing it a little bit? Like, I don't think you got this in you.
For tough love.
Yeah, you're gonna flub this like we always do out here.
You know what? He should maybe incorporate. Trey, we're just spitballing here. Maybe in 2023, 24, next season, you incorporate some tough love Cameron texts.
Oh, I like it.
You text him.
I'll just start throwing
it out
there.
He'll just show them the phone.
I'm good at giving the tough love. Yeah. I do it with everybody. My kids, you name it.
Is that legal on the course to show your player your phone?
I don't know, but he could look at it and then tell him.
He'd tell him, hey, Jeff just said that you have no chance of making this 12-footer.
He called you a bitch.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at this.
A weak-minded one. Yeah, a weak-minded.
Would you look at this? Can you believe? I can't believe he's saying this.
Just saying, maybe
Trey incorporates it to say the things he's always wanted to say to him.
Yes.
And now I get
that's not me, though. That's Jeff Cameron talking.
He's like, Jeff just said you're soft. He just said there's a real good chance you're going to cost me the national title.
Again.
You want me to respond to him, or do you want to do something about it?
Yeah. He said you got a wedge in your hand from 110. Ooh, so scary.
You're so scared. Just try to make contact. Just make contact and advance the ball.
Trey's just like letting it loose. He's like, are you sure Jeff is texting?
The announcers are like, why does this coach keep handing his phone?
Yeah. What is he
saying? Look at it.
Yeah. So what was crazy, though, and I brought this up on Wake Up Warchant about that scene where Brett Roberts is, emotional after losing that match and they all surround him, is like, what I would like Trey to tell him and any of those guys in that moment is like, look around, man. Look at this course. It's open to the public. Anybody could have bought tickets and watched you play golf. There's 11 people out here, and they're all family members. Nobody cares about college golf. You shouldn't get so worked up about this shot. It does not matter in the grand scheme of things.
It probably comes from a good place, though, man. It's his whole team. That's the weird thing about that whole sport is, like, it's a team thing, but it's one dude. It's really tough.
It's
but
really
there's 20,
tough, yeah.
You know, you if you could sell it, like, look, man, in 20 minutes, nobody's going to remember who won the 2023 national championship.
You think that's better than text from Cameron?
I think it's close.
Maybe, but he'd remember. He'd remember that he lost the national championship for him and his teammates.
But if he didn't care, he's like, whatever.
He'd remember he let the university down. From having an opportunity to hoist the national championship.
He could be like, look, other two guys could have won too. Yeah, sure, I had a two-hole lead.
Yeah, I'm up
two
and three to play, and I'm the better player. One of them's a freshman.
Yeah.
Jeff takes a picture of his butt, moons him. Show that to him.
That ought to help him win. He'd be like, oh, this is funny. Oh, we're all having funny games out here. I got my head coach showing pictures from a friend that does a sports talk show back in Tallahassee of his ass. Okay, great.
The other guy's telling me nobody's watching because nobody cares about college golf anyway.
Hey, Trey, I think I'll putt it from 110 out. What do you say? And then we'll ride up afterwards and get chased.
Just have some fun.
We'll pretend like
Trey's doing the six shooters. He's got the pistols.
We'll go up and do the centipede when we get on the green. Who cares? It'll be fun.
I'll tell you
nobody's
what, man.
Watching.
The Castillo kid, I know it's Castillo, but they announced his name as Castillo from Florida. That kid didn't give a crap. The stage was not, I mean, I'm not trying
to. He wasn't nervous.
He wasn't, I'm not saying he was better than anybody else, but nerves was not an issue for
that
kid.
Better than him in the moments that he had to be, and that was brutal to watch. All right, we got questions coming in from you headliners. We'll get to them momentarily. Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV continues in a moment.